God. Would you stand with me, please? First of all, I want to thank you for being here tonight, on Sunday night. It's going to be a special Sunday night. There was a Sunday night like this in August of 1988, where they elected this guy. There were 26 voters, and it took them a year to find a new pastor. I think there were something like 12 different men who tried out for the church, came from all over the United States, and I was there just to hold the church together until they could make up their mind. But one side of the church didn't agree with the other side of the church, and so if this side liked them, then that side didn't. And finally, I remember saying, you know, if you really want a pastor, you need to get along. There needs to be some unity here. Don't look for the best smile and the best message. You need somebody who'll tell you what you need to do. And that must have resonated with somebody, and by accident, they elected my wife and I. I remember that first service, I said, this may be a shock to you, but you didn't elect me. God put me in this position. And God's the only one who can take me out. And that's the way it should be, folks. It should be by design of God Almighty. It is His church. It's not our church. He makes the decisions in this place. Amen. Glory to God. So with that, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Your race may not be my race, and my race certainly isn't a lot of people's race. Looking unto Jesus, the author, and he's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse 24, Paul's saying, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word, as always. And God, we're grateful for your hand upon your people, God. No good thing would you withhold from them that walk uprightly. Bless the offering, bless the tithes, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First of all, it has been my honor and privilege to pastor this church for 34 years. God has given me the best people on the face of the earth. I love and cherish you more than you can possibly imagine. And if I didn't have that love, toward the church, I would not have been pastoring for 34 years. You see, there's problems from time to time. I don't know if you know that, but there are problems from time to time. There was one person that gave me problems, but they left. Hallelujah. Each of us are in a race of our life, whether you understand it or not, and we alone are responsible for finishing our race. And he is the finisher. He's the author and the finisher. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, not the way of the saint. This is not a hard thing if we run with all, if we do it to the best of our ability. But when we lay back and decide I'm not going to run as hard as I once did, then we're going to have some problems. Paul said we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2 and 12. So it is our responsibility, not somebody else's responsibility. It isn't even my responsibility or Brother Portman's responsibility to get you into heaven. We can coax you, we can encourage you, but it's your responsibility. We decide whether we will continue in the race or drop out because of something that happened to you. I remember Brother Oggs wrote a book, You Have to Have a Want To. And he was handicapped, and I'll tell you what, it was a struggle for him in life. But he lived for God stronger than those who never had any handicap. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 said, Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 13, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I wonder how many have quit. Got halfway through, I'm tired, there are obstacles, there are problems in my life, and therefore, I don't think I can do this anymore. So close, and yet so far. You have to finish in order to get the prize. I remember being in high school, I ran cross country, and it was a 2.5 mile race, and one race, I must have had the flu or something. I thought, I just can't do this, you know, but I made it all the way. I endured to the end. I wasn't first. What my goal was is I found somebody that I knew was going to be at the head that really ran well, and I tried to pace with it. That's a good idea in the church. Find somebody that's spiritual and keep pace with that individual. If you know that they're faithful, you can be faithful. Paul was talking about people in Olympia, Greece, who have trained for what is known today as the Olympics. He said to strive to be the best in all of the events. In research, I found that they trained for over 2 years, and they restricted themselves in so many areas, especially with what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. We do that. And they did it for a corruptible crown. That's what he's saying. They would receive a crown of pine needles. And only one person would win the race, and they would get the pine needles that probably didn't last very long. And some of them would get a statue in the middle of the town square that you were the winner. Glory to God. How many people today put all of their effort, all of their time in building a career, in building a business, and at the end of it, they don't have anything? You know? It isn't a reward of eternity. It's temporal. Solomon said, vanity of vanities, meaningless of meaningless. You put all of your effort into some things that really won't last at all. Who are we running against? The question is. Paul said he really was running against himself. He was beating his body into subjection. He kept under his body and brought it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, if Paul had a problem, if Paul was worried that somehow he wouldn't make it all the way, he wouldn't finish his race, how much more do we need other people in order to help us? You know, they have a special Olympics for those who are handicapped, and it probably is the best of all of the Olympics, because you find at the end of the race, those who are struggling, somebody else will come up to them and help them to the finish line. That's what the church is supposed to be like. We should help each other. Come on, we can make it together. Amen. On Thursday morning in 2016 in the Olympics in Rio, our American team ran a 4 100-meter relay race. And there was a Brazilian runner who veered into the lane of one of the American ladies who was running. Her name was Allison Felix, and she dropped the baton just before she was passing off the baton to the next relay. Most would have said, that's it. We lost enough time. They're just a matter of seconds involved here. But no, she picked up the baton and she began to run, and the next runner ran harder, and the next runner ran harder, and they won the gold, even though someone dropped it. Time was lost, but they made it up. We are all in a relay race. And the baton is the truth of God's word. Something that needs to be passed on. And we need to hand off that truth to those who will finish the race. There are some that are in this place who will experience the rapture. Not sure I will. I thought in the 70s, surely by the 80s, we'd be gone. But I held on to the baton. This baton of truth was skillfully placed in each of our hands to then place in the hands of our next generation. Our kids should have the same experience that we had. Not a watered-down experience. They should have the full thing, the full experience that we have. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 says that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. My grandfather had this plaque in his kitchen that I saw from little on and said, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? You know? God gives us ability. If you have obtained anything in your life, it's not just you. It's the ability that God has given you, you see. It's not what we can produce in this life, but the handling off of truth, passed to the next runner, the next person, to encourage somebody else, you can make it. You're going through a situation. You know, I went through a situation like that, but together we can make it. You see, it's a relay race, if you will. Each of us need to practice their skillful ability to transfer to the next generation. Amen. You know, I know what's happened in my generation. We had to really, really work for what we had. A lot of things weren't given to us. I was raised in a very poor household, and I had to work for my school clothes and all of those things. And then when you start to advance and obtain some things, you might think that I don't want my kids to have to go through that. You're wrong. They need to have some restrictions and some responsibility, even at an early age, even in the church. When I see these children choir up here singing and the kids that were standing in front of me tonight worshiping God and putting their hands on each other, I thought, we're doing something right here, folks. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily. You cannot run this race if you're holding on to baggage. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And like I said, everyone has a different race. Everyone has different obstacles. Everybody has a different lane that they're running in. And there are times where somebody's going to run into your lane. There's no question about it. Knock you off course and cause you to fumble truth to a certain degree or question what's going on in your life or in your ministry. Well, it's time to pick up the baton and finish your course so you can get the gold. Hallelujah. We need to all celebrate together on streets of gold. We made it. We made it. I'll tell you, when your feet start to leave the ground, somebody should be screaming, hallelujah, I made it. Amen. Someone handed off this truth to me many years ago, and I'm so grateful. I purpose not only to continue to run the race, regardless of what happened in my life, but also that others could finish as well. And I've been handing off that baton in Bible studies and preaching and witnessing because everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to be able to be in the race. Tonight we're here to witness the passing of the baton of truth from one pastor to another, one generation to another generation. You see, my original plan was to pastor until I was 100 and then kind of slow down a little bit. I'm thinking if I have any free time, I'm going to take up snowboarding. It's time for new energy and dark hair to stand behind this pulpit. I have a good friend who was a good friend, Brother Tanberg out of Eau Claire. I've preached for him many times, and he was preaching one Sunday night, and all of a sudden he fell back with a heart attack. And his wife screamed out, praise God, he got what he wanted. He wanted to die preaching, you know. Well, they revived him, you know. He had to have a pig's valve put in his heart in order to revive him. And I always teased him, he's always going for corn on the cob. I don't know why, you know. Well, it is not my goal to die of a heart attack while I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's time. The Bible says that we need to hold on to this truth. Don't let it slip. And to hold on to the sanctification and the holiness that protects our salvation. There have many who have erred thinking sanctification and holiness is not important any longer, and it's not long before they don't have the truth of salvation any longer. The Bible offers several examples of transitions that God ordained. Consider the transition from David to Solomon. David wasn't allowed to build a temple because the Bible says he was a man of war. There was conflict in his life constantly. If you read the book of Psalms, you find that he's either running from somebody or he's doing some kind of battle. But Solomon built the temple with all of the sacrifice of David giving over the years. David was not able to build the temple, but he sacrificed and he stockpiled gold and silver and many things in order for his son to be able to build the incredible temple. And then Solomon had many years of peace that David never experienced in his life. Consider the transition of Moses to Joshua. For 40 years, Moses led the children of Israel out of the wilderness to the border of the promised land, but it was Joshua. Joshua is the one who was able to take the people into the promised land. He stayed with Moses on the mountain while he received the Ten Commandments. Nobody else did, but he was always with Moses. It was Joshua who led the people into the promised land and famously said years later, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God." God knew the heart of Joshua. Yeah, there was some disappointment. Moses, he was frustrated with the people and he did something wrong, and God said, "Sorry, you're not coming. But you have instilled some great things in Joshua." God knew the heart and the faithfulness in Joshua, which allowed him to be the next generation, if you will. Those were all great handoffs with no fumbling of truth. Consider Elijah and Elisha. How Elijah was Elisha's servant for many years, doing menial tasks, getting water, cooking food for him. He would never leave the side of Elijah. Elisha was a man who was completely submitted to be a servant of the man of God. And when Elisha knew that God was about to take Elijah, Elisha asked one thing, a double portion of the spirit that was on his pastor. So turn to 2 Kings. Chapter 2, verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. A miracle. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked the hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and smote the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smited the water, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I just want to try out this new double portion of spirit. Now the words in that 10th chapter, "If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee." The translation in the Hebrew is, "If you see eye to eye with me, if we're in agreement, there's going to be a double portion of my spirit upon you. Then you shall see that double portion." There can't be any division in ministry, or God cannot bless. Seen this happen too many times. see. Also consider the passing of the baton from Paul to Timothy. One of the greatest of the illustrations in the Bible. This was years in the making of Paul pouring godly principles into the life of this young man, Timothy. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse number 10. Paul is saying to this young preacher, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Didn't hold anything back. You heard it. You heard me preach it. You heard me tell all of the churches that I've started. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, clarity, patience. You've seen all of these things in my life. Persecution, affliction, which come unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hallelujah. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Be careful. Be careful. Someone's going to run into your lane and cause you to drop the baton of truth. You're going to have some difficult times, young Timothy. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As I mentioned in my letter this week, I met with our church board a few weeks ago and told them of my intention to step back as lead pastor. And according to our bylaws, they unanimously agreed that Brother Portman would be the man. I am not leaving our church. And I will continue to teach and preach in this church as needed. You can't get rid of me. Whether I'm teaching or preaching, I'll be sitting on that pew with my wife of 54 years, and we'll grow old and turn to dust right on that. Glory to God. I had an insurance agency years ago, and I had a special agent from the Acuity Insurance Company, a big insurance company. It's one of the biggest in the Midwest regions. And the man who came to my agency over and over again retired. I said to him, Frank, what are you going to do? And actually, the president of that insurance company called me to say the prayer at his retirement party. And he told me that day that he walked out of his insurance company. He was driving down the road, and there were cows out in the field. And he rolled down his window and screamed, I'm free! that is not the way I feel. I am an A-type personality. I have to be doing something, and I can't imagine doing anything better than working for God. You know, over the past several months, I've turned over more responsibility to Pastor Portman. This morning's message was a masterpiece. It was incredible. He told you some of the things that went on with his survival of this accident, but you don't know the half of the suffering that he went through. And through it, all things work together for good. There's some things I would rather not have gone through. But at the end of it, I recognized that was for me. That was good for me. We've all seen the special anointing on his ministry, even this morning, and he loves our church and has a deep compassion for people and a close walk with God. He amplifies all of the examples of the transitions that we talked about. He's in that position. I can't put him in that position. Only God can. And most of all, I'm passing a baton of truth to someone who has never compromised truth and never will. It's a safe place for this church to be in the hands of a man who loves truth and will never compromise it. It's been an ongoing process for 26 years. Like Paul and Timothy, he's seen what's happened in the church and been faithful. He has always been there to hold up my hands, and now it's my turn to hold up his. And I pray a double portion of God's Spirit on his ministry, that this church sees growth like we have never seen before, because he's got energy that I used to have, but anointing in abundance. Glory to God. So we're going to vote. And before we do this, I need to tell you what the qualifications for voting members are. And in our bylaws, it says, must be at least 18 years of age, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and must be a continuous member of the church for at least 1 year, faithful in giving. And that will allow you to be an eligible voter. And so all of you who meet those qualifications, if you would stand right now, because we need to get a count of who is an eligible voter. Amen. Glory to God. I wish Sunday night could be like this all of the time. Amen. Are we counting? I'm so grateful for our church board. They've gone through some things with us, three building programs and trying to get mortgages and dealing with contractors. Hallelujah. All right. Now, if you remain standing, and if we could pass out the ballots to all those that are standing.